Good morning, everyone. I hope everyone's having a great Monday. Saw some great messages from didn't get a chance to see them. They're up on Facebook, and that I'll get them up later today on the website. But decided to do a little bit of a review on what I said Friday. We're in the book of First John, as you can see by this little map I got. I truly believe that John at some point left the area of Jerusalem and went up to, well, I know he did, up to the Ephesus area, but not exactly sure when. And based on the study here of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, may or may not have included Mary, the mother of Jesus. So we'll kind of take a look at that. Second John a little bit, but I'm not going to go over everything I did Friday. I gave you a little history lesson of Ephesus and John, but I'm going to reread parts of 1 John 1, because 1 John 1 3 through 2 11 is basically about fellowship, and so I wanted to kind of segregate this section for that. Let's start with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time to look into your word and that, to see what you have for us that we can apply to our lives and it'll help us in our daily walk. Lord, I praise you and I thank you so much for this time. I want to say thank you so much for the healing hand that you've put on Sister Cynthia. Continue to get her well and stronger. And you be with all those who have COVID, are having this journey of, it's a disease that none of us want to see our fellow man have to deal with. And Lord, protect us all and take care of the sick and help them to get well. And we'll give you all the glory. In Jesus' precious name I pray. So, let's talk about 1 John. So, the first couple of verses I kind of talked about yesterday and have to do with John and the fact that kind of reflects on who Jesus Christ was. And he goes back to his gospel. And by the way, I mentioned that we're going to continue on to Revelation after this, but when we get to Revelation, I'm going to bring this up again. But I'm really convinced that, getting more and more every day, that something that's said in Revelation 1:19 may be an indication that the Gospel of John was actually written either during or after Revelation. Just a thought of mine. So we'll take a look further at that later on. But here we are in 1 John, starting in verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. That when that then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, and he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. We pick this up in Ephesians, where Paul kind of addresses the same thing, talking about light, and that we are the light of the world. And Ephesians 5:15 reflects this. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whosoever doeth make manifest is light. And in other words, saying that through Jesus Christ, who is the light, that through him we are also the light, and that we shine goodness to all that we meet. Go back to John 1:8. If we have and we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Boy, is that true? And of course, we all think about the verse from Romans, where it says, Romans 3:23, for we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But here I picked up in 1 Corinthians 2, a few verses of Paul's that reflect on this. For if we... it's about judging, and I think it's important to realize that. And again, this is a this section is all about fellowship, so it's about fellowship, and fellowship with our brothers. So 1 Corinthians 11:31 and 32, it says, "For if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged." That is, if we really take a hard look at ourselves and correct our own bad behavior, and act of repentance for it, then we will be that we won't. Because of it, because we're taking care of the problem beforehand. Verse 32, it says, "But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." And sometimes we're judged, and we're actually punished by the Lord. Not always, and it's kind of like a father and son situation or daughter. You know, when we discipline our children, is to make them better people, and to and it's the same thing with God. He's our Father, and He loves us, and He wants the best for us. Sometimes that's best achieved with a little bit of chastening. So don't look down at chastening as being anything but a positive thing. I like the idea that you know, if He didn't care about us, He didn't love us, and the same thing I think about our children. Then we probably wouldn't care about what they do. You know, we would just, you know, well, if you want to do that, go ahead and just be on your merry way and not really care about them. But because He does chasten us, it's a confirmation that He loves us and that He wants the best for us. So try not to look down on hard times as something negative. Maybe it's more of a positive. Back to 1 John 1:9. Here's our famous, called the Christian's bar of soap. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Right there in Romans 3:23. For all, I didn't see any exceptions in there, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Been only one person born of woman that's ever been sinless. We all know who that is, Jesus Christ. So nobody else can make that claim. Oh, now we're going to move into chapter 2. We're going to do the first 11 verses today. My little children, these things. I like this. I'd like to bring this up right now, too, that... was probably I was listening to Chuck Missler today about 3 John, and it, he kind of gave me a kind of confirmed what I always thought, that these epistles were written, they could have been before the Patmos experience, but they could have been after, because they seem to be like an elder of the church to his flock. And we know that John, in his latter year, around 95 AD, when he got released, 96 AD, when he got released from Patmos, he ended up going back to Ephesus, and he died there, somewhere around 100 AD. So he led a quite long life, but he was quite the senior. And as I like to think about my grandfather and my elders, were very wise people. So in respect here, when he says my children, I can see it as an elder who has something he wants to give to the church at hand. You notice he doesn't address anyone in particular, too. That's another thing. Some people think that this might be a sermon that he gave, maybe at Ephesus. This First John is the whole thing. So you might think about it in that realm. So he's talking to a congregation, but not to any particular congregation, just the church at large. So back to verse 1 here in chapter 2. My little children, these things write, ye sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Well, that comes straight out of one of my favorite Psalms, the 23rd Psalm. I won't read the whole thing, but in verse 3 it says, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. So he's there guiding us and helping us to not sin, but we also have an advocate we talk sometimes you hear pastors talk about he's our advocate. He's kind of like our lawyer. He's up there in heaven right now. And Satan is right there accusing us. He's just saying, oh, look at that Dana did down there, boy. He messed up that time. And then Jesus turns to the Father and says, he's covered by the blood. Praise God for that. I already forgave him of that sin. So that's a great feeling to realize that. And he's there day and night on our side. Praise the Lord. Verse 2, and his the propitiation, that big $10 word, for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Always, I decided to look that word up to get an idea what it means. And it means atonement, but it's kind of like the basic definition I found was that, where I wrote it down. It's basically that Jesus Christ is there to forgive us of our sins. He's our atoning power, and that without Him, we would have no forgiveness of sins. So that's what propitiation means. It's a divine kind of forgiveness. That's the word I was looking for: divine forgiveness. So, and He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only. For the sins of the whole world. Amen. This is reflected over in Romans 3:25 also, where God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. So when he died on that cross, he died for all sin, past, present, and future. Now the next question is, are you going to accept that gift? That requires something on your part, that you turn to him and say, yes, I accept your gift of salvation, and I am a sinner, Lord, and I need forgiveness, and please forgive me and to come in and help me to be the man you want me to be, O woman. And very simple prayer. Let him know that you know you're a sinner and that you need salvation, and that you want to be a child of his, and that he will forgive you, and he will send you the Holy Spirit to help you become better. Back to 1 John 3. Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Now, that could be a loaded word there, and I kind of did a little checking on that word, commandments. I think the first time you hear that, the first thing you think of is the Ten Commandments back there in Exodus. And they're important, don't get me wrong. But in this particular case, it's not necessarily a list of things that Jesus has like a rule book. It's a little bit more of a frame of mind. And a few verses that I found that kind of reflect this. Galatians that when we one of the commandments is bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So by being in good fellowship, again the theme of this portion is fellowship, And so to be in good fellowship means to bear one another's burdens, to help one another, to be there for each other, whether it be physically or mentally, or just a shoulder to cry on. You never know, but to be there, to be a good brother. Over in 2 John 1:5, reflects on it also. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. So it's important to love one another. And mostly talking about brothers in Christ here, brothers and sisters. And also over in regular John 15:10, Jesus himself talks about it. I'm going to read 8 verses here, 15:10 through 18, about Jesus and what he said about the commandments. This is Jesus speaking. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than that man lay down his life for his friends. Boy, we see that in the apostles and even around the world today, people that are willing to lay down their life for their loved ones. You are my friends if you do whichever I command you. Here I want you to realize that I think that I feel that this command is not one of a strict adherence to the law, as any particular say. It's basically that if Jesus asks you to do something and you do it willfully, you know, that you, now you're my friends. Boy, what a friend. Reminds me of a song I sang as a child. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our cares and woes of, I can't remember all the words, but I think you know which one I'm talking about. Verse 15, and henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you my friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Which in this case, we're benefit of that information also. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and your fruit should remain, that whosoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it unto you. These things I command you, that you love one another. There he says it again, the same conversation. And just one more verse. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. This continues on. It's quite a long, if you ever want to read it, it's a really good chapter to read, chapter 15 in John. But back to 1 John, verse 4. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So in other words, if we're not loving to one another, and more so, I think, to our brothers, so that's important that, I guess, when we have a problem with a brother, it's important for us to settle it and to go to them and to get it straightened out. In a minute here, we're going to see some verses that say what happens if we don't. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. You see this reflected over in 1 Peter too, as about walking with Christ. For even unto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps. So walking with the Lord, one of my favorite poems. I actually have it next to my bed because when I was having a lot of tough time with my heart, I would... A lot of times it would happen at night. I could sit up in bed and have to deal with it. But That poem was right there next to me. I could see it. And it's called Footstep in the Sands. And basically, it's about a young man that has a dream that he's walking with the Lord. And it, he's concerned because it's at the lowest points in his life, the footsteps disappeared. And of course, the young man misunderstood. And only Jesus answered him and said that when the young man asked Jesus why he left him, and he said that I didn't leave you. It was at that point that I carried you, and the one's footsteps were Jesus. So it's a beautiful way of thinking of Jesus, is that when we're down and out, he is there. He may not always solve the situation for us, but he was always there to comfort, give us comfort. And it, so he carries us when we're really low. I think that's a great thing to try to remember. If you're looking for that poem, I have a plaque. And it's called Footsteps in the Sands. Stand. Brethren, back to 1 John 2:7. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which ye have from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. And again, a new commandment I write unto you, that which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. Now keep in mind, this is John talking to a group of people. That's why it sounds a little bit like a sermon. That's a really loving fellowship kind of a sermon. I probably would have labeled it fellowship. But as we go through this book, you're going to see that there's a darker side too. We'll have to how to handle things that aren't so pleasant. Verse 9: He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even unto now. He that loveth his brother abideth in light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and he walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. I think it's an important aspect to try to think about that. You ever been so mad at a situation, whatever it may be, that the old term I used to remember is you see red, that you just can't think straight, that you're so upset. And that it's those point in time that you really need to look to the Lord and pray. And that, I guess that's what he's trying to say here, because at that moment, you're in darkness. And that, and because you're in darkness, you can't see straight. And you need the light to manifesting you and to bring you back. John reflects on this in the next two books too. I'll just mention them here. The next couple of chapters. 1 John 3:15, he mentions, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. We also see it over in 1 John 4:20 and 21. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. But he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God who he hath not seen? And this commandment hear we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. And I just end with a couple of verses from John 13 and reflect on this. This is Jesus himself. Again, 13:34. A new commandment I give unto you, love one another as I have loved you, ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. So right there, that also speaks about our testimony, that through our love for one another, others will say, boy, you guys got a special relationship. What's it all about? And through that, you become a great witness too. And boy, that can be tough sometimes to maintain that. Pastor Silcott had a really good sermon today on that subject of watching ourselves, show that we're pure. And I'm trying to think the exact word he used, but that it's important to love one another. It might have been
somebody
somebody
else.
that was Pastor Silcott, so I'll apologize if it wasn't in one of his sermons. I heard it someplace today. But either way, it's an important thing to love one another. And that brotherly love is so important, particularly when it comes to fellowship. It's really hard to fellowship with someone if you have some issues with them. So on that note, I have for today, and I will end with a prayer. Oh Lord, I want to praise you and I thank you so much for your fellowship and your love. That we always have you there with us 24/7, 365, as the saying says. And I want to thank you and I praise you so much for it. And that you also help me, Lord, and I'm sure that there's others that feel the same, to always have love in our hearts for our fellow man. And that we look past whatever little things that may be an irritant between us and our brother, and that we can put aside and try to look with the kind of love that you have for us. And I want to praise you and I thank you so much for all you do. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. I don't have any new pictures. The only one I had I showed yesterday, this kind of cool picture of the layout of Ephesus. You got a fairly large screen, really neat. I noticed that Ephesus is kind of like in between two ranges. It's kind of tucked away in a little, like, almost like a little valley, right on the water. And as we go further, John's story would be kind of looking at all these different places. Probably the next place we'll visit is Patmos itself. The next couple of weeks, but. And this was a church. It's a replica of an actual church that was built way after John was there, but they called it, called the Church of St. John. And supposedly his grave is underneath it. I think it's in that area you see with columns and stuff. This is kind of like a town layout of Ephesus, quite a big place. And maybe I'll find some more pictures to kind of look at some of these other parts. I only have a few here. The big amphitheater, that's an artist concept. There's the real amphitheater. And funny, I was listening to a tape today from Chuck Missler on 1 John 3. I mean, 3 John, and he was saying that they estimate that this could hold about 50,000 people, that amphitheater that you see on the hillside. So this is all in Ephesus. He said, and I don't know if we'll ever get there, because it's in eastern Turkey. That's a great place to visit. But again, this tape I was listening to was from about the 2005 time frame. Is it from a different angle? Quite a place, 50,000 people. Imagine that. In that time frame, it's quite a construction project. This is a little house we may discuss even more. They call it the House of Mary. It's about 3 miles from Ephesus. I guess supposedly legend says, there's nothing in the Bible that confirms it, but that Mary lived here. And that's why I said it, it's kind of hard to determine if Mary would have been in Ephesus with John. If you think about it, if Jesus was born right around 2 BC and she was like 16 years old or so, and he was born, that would have put her about this time frame, somewhere around 111. If she lived all the way to like 95. Now, they could have, now that's why I'm thinking it. If it is, maybe, it's funny that in none of the books I see anything written about the actual destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. Now, most of the apostles were gone, except John. And so I'm thinking John probably left Jerusalem area. Again, I have no proof of this. It's my little thoughts that he might have already been in Ephesus about this time before the fall of 70 AD, and didn't really know it even happened. He could have been on Patmos at that time frame, maybe. No, because they figured that Patmos was during Domitius, which would have been 80-something AD to 95 AD in that time frame. So he could have spent maybe from like the 60s AD until the, around the mid-80 AD period in Ephesus area. And then Mary would have only been somewhere around in her 80s. Between 80s, early 90s. So that's a possibility. There's another angle of Ephesus, the ruins of it. And that's a model of Ephesus was named for the Greek goddess Diana. Of course, it's a Roman town, Ephesus. And the one thing John and Emma had to face was the persecution from the pagan worship of Diana and all those deities they like to worship. I think there's also monuments in this particular town to a couple of the other deities that they. And this is that area I was talking about near the temple, that open area. And where they believe the grave of John's is, that's the what they say is John's grave, and they figure he died somewhere around 100 AD. And I think that's all I had for right now. So that's all I have, and I will talk to you again tomorrow. So you guys have a great day, and God bless you, and love everyone. Talk to you later.